Tonight on Life on the Rock, we have Father Chuck Dornquist, part two. He'll give a reflection and much more.
Tonight on Life on the Rock, we have Father Chuck Dornquist, who is the Vocation Director of the Diocese of St. Petersburg, and he's also the Chaplain of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And this is a part two of two shows that we've done with Father Chuck. In this episode, he's going to talk to us about the priesthood, the Holy Eucharist, and really how to discern.
He's got some great insights in discernment, I think, stuff I've never heard before, and a beautiful way of describing the priesthood and its role. So we're now going to a reflection with Father Chuck Dornquist.
So I've had the privilege of taking some really amazing hiking trips with brother priests, with my own brother out west, and doing Glacier and Yosemite and Sequoia and all these incredible, beautiful places we have in our country. And you can tell there's different ways in which people approach these great adventures. There are some who want to record every possible moment of it on their phone and to save it into a device. There's others who it's clear they do so much intentional planning ahead of time because they want to be prepared for whatever might come. And what I find in both of those instances is perhaps a lessening of the full reality of the experience. If we go into a trip with the idea that I want to preserve these things on my heart, on my soul, that that's where I want them to be saved, and that I don't know what's about to come around the bend. I know that this is the trail that I need to go down, but I don't know what I'm going to see. I don't know what I'm going to experience. I think that opens up a way of looking at discernment of our vocation that is far more adventurous. I think sometimes we get stuck in our heads or navel gaze and we want to figure things out. We want to know, if I go down this road, what's it going to mean? And what are the sacrifices? And what am I going to have to do? And what's going to be the end of this? And what if I'm not happy? And we can begin to either catastrophize or trying to figure out our future, when really I think discernment is this great adventure that the Lord makes clear, like, hey, I want you to start going down this trail and to start pursuing me there. And then you and I can begin to pursue. And we don't necessarily know what's going to come down our way on that trail, but we know that He's the one guiding us, leading us, directing us. And that's when following Christ becomes this radical adventure. And discernment is about discovering each day His ability to provide for us.
Father Chuck, welcome to Life on the
Brother
Rock.
John, thanks so much.
And you are the vocation director there in the Diocese of St. Petersburg in Florida.
Yes, sir.
And tell us a little about your own spiritual journey, your own kind of spiritual awakening.
Okay. So I was born and raised in a small town called Zephyr Hills. It happens to be where the best water in the world is from,
really?
In case anybody wants to know. It's excellent. Come from a fairly dysfunctional family. Dad had two kids from his first marriage. Mom had a kid from her first marriage. My younger sister and I came from my parents' marriage. Mom really came back to the faith because of the example of a coworker of hers from Red Lobster. And as she started to come back to the church and started to go to Mass, she'd bring a bunch of us kids, and the parish received her really well. And so I think some of the foundations of my own experience of a vocation was in the warmth and the care that we experienced at St. Joseph in my home parish. I remember every year around Christmas time, people would show up with boxes of gifts and presents. So there was this just connecting that the Catholic Church was a community that cared and provided for people. We got a parish priest or the new pastor when I was a kid, and it was his example that really brought my dad back to the Mass. And he was just authentic, down to earth, man's man type. In fact, he's inspired about five other priests in my diocese. And so I remember as a kid wanting to be a professional baseball player and a paleontologist because Jurassic Park had just come out. And I wanted to be like Father Jacob because I saw the role that he had in people's lives. That really persisted, just wanting to be like him. And then freshman year of high school, I had my first experience with the Lord in the Blessed Sacrament during exposition. Oh. So I didn't really anticipate it or experience that before. We had just gotten a new youth minister. We're on this big retreat. I actually went on the retreat to try and get a girlfriend. Mm-hmm. And the Saturday night was exposition. And everyone's having, it seemed to me in that moment, everyone's having this emotional experience to the Blessed Sacrament. I can't figure out what's going on. And I actually thought, well, maybe this is just what you do. Like, you know, Jesus gets put in a fancy display case and everybody's supposed to like start crying and stuff. And I couldn't. I couldn't make myself cry. I couldn't manipulate it. It wasn't until the priest came in and gave benediction that my heart got struck. I mean, I'd grown up in a dysfunctional family on a dirt road, certainly not successful in any way. But yet somehow in that moment, I felt more loved than I'd ever known was possible. More cared for, I felt like someone was deeply, deeply proud of me. Uh-huh. And that just, it rocked my heart. And at the same moment was this, this thought that if I could do anything in this world with my life, like the greatest thing I could ever give someone was to give them that same experience with Jesus Christ and the Blessed Sacrament, wow. to give them the one who can love them. And so I was like 14 and just had this recommitment to wanting to be a priest. I like to tell people, like, after that, like, there were tons of ups and downs, and there are moments, it's almost like you have this lighthouse, like, of an experience, this light that shines forth, but then you're out at sea, and you get waves, and sometimes you lose track of it, and so there are more difficulties in my family, a lot of dysfunction and sadness, things in high school, like, I was public school educated, so right, I got to experience here. Some stuff, and every once in a while, like, I'd lose track of it. But then the Lord would be faithful and something would change and be able to recognize his presence. I visited the seminary a few times when I was in high school and really felt at peace there, felt like it was home and going. And so I entered seminary at 17, right out of high school. And did my four years at St. John Vianney in Miami, 5 years at St. Vincent de Paul in Boynton Beach, and ordained in 2015.
Wow. So it's interesting because, you know, God can call us at such a young age. And even like kind of reflecting on my own faith life, I think the first time I ever really encountered Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament, you know, with exposition and the monstrance and all that, for me, it caught me off guard. I was like, what is this? Like, I'd never, you know, I didn't know this was even part of the faith or really that this was even what we believed or did as Catholics. And it was a very new experience for me. But one of the striking memories I have was, you know, we were on a hard kind of wooden floor. And I just remember our pastor was older. He was probably in his 60s or 70s. But he just knelt right there, didn't move. But he just knelt for just a solid 30 minutes at least.
God bless his knees.
Yeah, and that's everybody else is like, oh, you know, but he just didn't, you know, fidget or move. And I just remember he had just this serious concentration and he just looked like he was really praying and praying for the church. And that always was a really striking image to me because it kind of just came out of nowhere. But I just saw this, you know, this priest, this humble priest, you know, praying before our Lord. And I was like, man, that is a pretty intense spiritual life, you know, that I'd never seen, but just to have that encounter. And I think it's so critical to just have that devotion to the Blessed Eucharist.
100%.
And, you know, especially, I think today it's something we have to rediscover a lot of times as Catholics, you know, what that teaching is, you know, and how the church presents it to us in our lives. But, you know, we always have the assurance that, you know, church is just down the block. We can go visit Jesus at any time.
Yeah, and I like to use an image. Recently, I got to travel to Sequoia National Park out in California, and I'd known like Sequoia trees existed. Like I'd heard about these massive trees. You know, you watch the movie Avatar and you see these big trees and stuff. And so I knew like big trees existed, but there was such a difference between the moment that I encountered a sequoia, and you're face to face with this incredible existing thing. And I think that's the shift that happened to me that night, like as a freshman in high school with the Blessed Sacrament. I'd known like Jesus Christ is in the Eucharist. My CCD teacher, you know, Ms. Tatro had told me this. And yet that was the night that it shifted from being something I knew into someone I knew. And if we found a way to foster that more in the lives of our faithful, in the lives of people, to know Him in the Eucharist, changes everything.
It does. And that was, for me, my own life, learning about that doctrine.
Yeah.
As the church teaches it, it was like, whoa, this changes everything.
Yeah, it does.
And it does. And so for me, it was just kind of refocusing on our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament, because there is a grace so present to us that we can miss. But we have to go to a break, but whenever we come back, let's get more into the priesthood.
I like it.
Father Chuck, as the vocations director, you probably get asked a lot of questions on discernment.
Yeah.
So how is maybe the proper way to discern? Is there a proper way?
So I'm sure there are far greater intellectuals who have can give a proper treatise on this. And in fact, like I'm a vocations director in our country. Every religious order has one. There's an organization called the National Conference of Diocesans and Vocations Directors who kind of coach and prepare vocations directors for the work in their dioceses. And so most of them are far wiser than I am.
Yeah.
What I can say, how I understand discernment, is it's really about attentiveness. A big trap I see a lot of individuals falling into with discernment is they treat it as a figuring out. Like I have to figure out what the Lord wants from me. I have to figure out what I'm supposed to do with my life. And I think that's a wrong starting point. I believe we have a God who is a remarkably good and loving Father who desires to make Himself known to you, who wants you to know His will. And so it's not about trying to figure out what He's saying. It's more so becoming attentive. And when I'm walking with guys, some of the director of vocations for the diocese, so we're looking at dioceses and priests, really I try to find what they're already good at being attentive to in life. So if there's someone who plays video games, but they're really good at being attentive to a screen and all the subtleties. I suck at video games. Like I can't stand it because you have to be able to attentive to all the, but some guys are really good at it. Or someone who's good at analyzing sports or football. They're attentive to these details and they know what those details mean and they figure out like the processes and the leads. I fish. Like part of me fishing is like being attentive to the water and the movement of the water and the tides and everything else. We're really good at being attentive to things and what they mean on the externals.
Yes.
So what I try to work with is allowing my guys to learn to be attentive to the movements of the Lord within. So movement to their own hearts, attentive to what's happening in different experiences. For them to be able to see like, yeah, when I go to prayer and I'm praying about priesthood, these things are what happens in my heart. And when I talk to this really cute girl, like these things happen in my heart. And when I worry about my future and jobs, these things are what happen in my heart. And as they become more attentive to these data points, so to speak, then they can become more free to choose which ones they're gonna give themselves to.
Yeah.
But it's a matter of being attentive. The Lord's going to move. He does make Himself known to us. And so it's deciding, am I going to follow His promptings or get lost in the hundreds of other options?
Yeah, I think that's an interesting thing of that, where we're attentive to and what we're trying to figure out. And I always kind of like reflect back on college, because like my first year, it's like, you know, what are you going to study? It's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of options, but it's like, what am I good at? What am I actually learning?
Yeah.
You know, and what am I not learning? I can tell you what I don't like. It's not hard to figure out, you know, but there were things, you know, that I had to become attentive to, just the prayer. I was very interested in religion all of a sudden, you know, and once I kind of reoriented things to that, it was like a light went off.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. And it's amazing how differently the Lord moves.
It is,
like his movement within our heart is different. And it can be accompanied so quickly by fear or anxiety or like worries about what this means. But to be able to see just the movement of the Lord and to set into that, that it does open up the doors.
I think too, with that attention, there's also that initiation to learn or deepen our learning or what we know and all that. And it's just, it comes naturally.
Yeah.
You know, you're not having to like force yourself or like really just buckle down. And that can be hard, you know, if you don't like to study. But I've actually found like what you do have that interest or passion for, you just do it with ease.
Yep. And you're not figuring out the big picture.
Right.
It's small. So something else I use is we get used to having GPS. So this, like, I love Waze because it's always telling me that I'm going in the right direction and this is the way to go. And it's always constantly affirming. Mm-hmm. And it can be hard in the spiritual life because the Lord doesn't work in that way. Like the Lord gives an invitation to go in a direction, and we're attentive to that. And then once we start going in that direction, like we may not hear His like affirmation, because as we go, we have to grow in our dependency and trust on the one who first gave it that message, and that's about attentiveness to Him.
And have you ever encountered? I know there's just a term. It's just perpetual discernment.
Yeah,
I visited every community or every diocese. I read every book or whatever. You know, and you're always just kind of searching, but it's never like you really find it. I encounter a lot of people like that. And I always just kind of wonder, you know, there's no perfect order.
No.
You know, there's no perfect diocese or seminary.
Nope.
But you have, you know, you can contribute by making yourself better, making it better and edifying those around you. And I think, you know, just having that wisdom that, you know, there's going to be times where you have to, you know, actually put down a daily grind and just face it.
Yeah, and I'd heard someone speak recently that he thinks one of the difficulties that young people have in discerning is that they've confused peace for comfort.
Oh.
And they're looking for that peace because that's what everybody says. But what they understand peace to be is comfort. And so if something begins to feel awkward or unsettling or causes them to rethink themselves or difficult, then it must not be from the Lord because He would not be causing them discomfort.
Mm.
But peace is far greater than just comfort.
Right.
Peace is this like intentionality and this purpose and this meaningfulness that subsists and persists through discomfort. But if all you're ever looking for is like the right fit or the right place, one, you're spinning your wheels, and two, like you're not giving yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You're protecting yourself from the experience of giving.
Right.
So ideally, you like in the Diocese of St. Petersburg, I want guys who want to give themselves to the Bride of Christ in our diocese. I think she's a 10. She's a knockout. She's absolutely worth someone giving themselves to her.
And I think that spirit of sacrifice, you have to be willing to embrace, and maybe for a long term, you know, because a lot of times we don't know what lies in the future, you know, but the Lord prepares us, you know, in the ways He does. But just, I like that distinction between not confusing peace with comfort. I think that's such a valuable lesson to learn and just to have that stability to just kind of move forward. So, well, Father, we've run out of time, but I thank you for being on Life on the Rock.
Thanks, Brother John.
Appreciate it. Well, Father Mark, one of the things that struck me with my conversation with Father Chuck was, I think, his really attentiveness to really respond to God's calling to him to the priesthood at a young age. It kind of reminds me of just in the Old Testament, Samuel, where he's hearing a voice, but he doesn't necessarily recognize who's calling him. But he has to train his mind and heart to recognize that it was the Lord's voice. You know, and he was sharing that, you know, he entered this seminary right after high school at the age of 17. But just to have that awareness that this is what I want to do with my life is a great grace to receive at a young age.
Yeah, I like that idea of like just being attentive to the Lord and, you know, not trying to get the big picture all at once, but all right, what's He asking me to do next?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it is go visit this community. I think you made the point in the show that we could be in perpetual discernment, right?
All right.
And I think I now tell people, yeah, well, go talk to a Dawson vocation director, go visit this religious community, you know, get out and do something with it. And then God likes to steer like a canoe that's moving, right? You got to be moving to right. steer it. And I thought that was a great point.
And I think too, with his own life, though, just to reflect on is, you know, he really felt that call, that awareness during his time in front of our Lord in the Blessed Eucharist in prayer. And I think that's where God really speaks many times the loudest in our lives is whenever we have that encounter with our Lord who is present among us all the time. And again, maybe it's a new thing for us or it's something we've done, but want to maybe deepen, but really building that relationship with our Lord in the Holy Eucharist is really, it gives us that identity of what it means to be a Catholic.
Yeah. And I thought it was interesting in his story. Yeah, he was there at the youth retreat, didn't feel anything, didn't feel emotional, but at the benediction, it kind of hit him, that he had this experience that he was loved, that he was cared for, and that someone was proud of him. Mm-hmm. You know? And that, it was obviously a powerful experience because he described it so quickly, you know, what it was. And then too, that lighthouse analogy that you're in the boat in the seas, you're going towards the lighthouse, but sometimes the sea's so rough you can't see.
Right.
So in high school or whatever, college, you might lose sight of that lighthouse, but keep looking, you know, keep moving forward, and at times it seems obscured. But I think the importance is to come and make yourself available, present to the Lord, you know, in front of the Blessed Sacrament. And I loved this thing about, too, that, you know, part of the beauty of the priesthood for him was sharing that experience with others, helping others to experience that. And I think that captures the priesthood, you know, a big way.
Absolutely. Amen. Well, Father, can you lead us out with a blessing?
May our Heavenly Father give you His peace. May He shine His face upon you and fill you with His grace. May God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We'll see you next week on Life on the Rock.
There's no toil or danger in that bright land to which I go. I'm going. Just going over Jordan. I'm just going over home. I know dark clouds will gather round me. I know my steep, but beauteous fields arise before me, where God's redeemed their vigils keep. I'm going there to see my mother. She said she'd meet me when I. Just going over Jordan. I'm just going over stranger. traveling through this world below. There's no sickness, no toil or danger in that bright land to which I go. I'm going. Just go.